Well, will you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6? Pick up where we left off last week. And I'm spending a little more time on the first part of this whole study because I think it's critical for us all, as we're talking about spiritual warfare, to make sure that the foundation is correct. Because if the foundation is not correct, the rest of it's not going to be good either, right? Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read again, verses 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. Father, I ask that, Lord, you will speak to our hearts again tonight. Lord, I know that we are certainly facing all kinds of attacks in this world right now. The evil one hates us. He hates you. He's trying to do as much damage as possible. He's trying to confuse. He's trying to manipulate. He's trying to deceive. But Father, we know that you're strong. And Lord, our strength is not in the weapons of this world. Our strength is in the weapons of your world. And so, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus that was shed for us on the cross, and because greater are you that's in us than he that's in the world. And we ask you, Father, to empower us and encourage us and strengthen us, Lord, to stand, to be strong in you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to look at three imperatives tonight. Now, an imperative is a statement that says this is something you really need to do. And God doesn't really give us a choice on this. Okay? He doesn't give us a choice on this. The first imperative is to be strong. He says, finally, be strong. Be strong, the word there is, means to be empowered. To be empowered by our strength? No. To be empowered by who? By Him, by God Himself. You see, when the battle's raging, we must be empowered to fight it. Because we can't fight it on our own. I mean, we can try to fight it on our own. But what's going to end up happening? We get slaughtered. We're not going to do well. In our own strength, we have nothing. In His strength, we have everything. It literally means to be, it means stronger than anything else. Empowered. If you're empowered by God, you are stronger than anything else. Why? Because He's stronger than anything else, right? So, what is it that we will face then that we have to quake in our boots about? What is it that we face that we will want to throw our hands up in the air and quit? What is it that we'll face that we want to run away in fright? Just us, right? Just us. It's us that keeps us from being strong. Be strong. Where? In the Lord. Again, it's a reminder that it's His power, it's not our power. We need His power, His all-consuming power to consume us. We gain this power through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just stop for just a second and remind all of us. The filling of the Holy Spirit happens when? At salvation. So are you full of the Holy Spirit? Right now. Okay, but let me ask you a question. Do we need to continually be filled? Yeah, it's kind of like if you think about a balloon that's got helium in it. It's full, and it's ready to soar. But if it has a slight leak, it's going to start losing altitude, and pretty soon it's going to end up on the floor, and pretty soon it's going to end up flat, right? Now, we don't need more of the Holy Spirit. We have all of Him. But we just got to make sure we don't have any holes. We need to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. And how does that happen? How do we continue to be filled with God's Holy Spirit? It's being in a right relationship with Him. It's by being right with God. How do you get right with God? If you'll confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So if you're cleansed of all unrighteousness, then you'll be righteous, right with God. Okay? So we need to stay clean before God. So be strong in the Lord, and then it says, in His mighty power. This is just a reminder that our power is never, ever, ever going to be enough. Never is. Doesn't matter how strong you physically are. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how long you've been going to church. It doesn't matter how many verses you've memorized. It doesn't, in your own power, in my own power, I will stumble and fall. Amen. Our power is never enough. His power is always enough. Always enough. To face whatever it is that we need to face. To be able to battle against the principalities of this world. But we can only do it by being strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. That's imperative number one. Be strong in the Lord. The second imperative is found in verse 11. It says, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You've got to put it on. It's no good if it's sitting in the corner. Right? You say, hey man, I've got the Lord's armor. It's right over there. What good is that going to do you? Walk out into this world, left the armor behind. It won't take long until you'll find out you're sinking. We are to put on. It's an act of our will. We've got to choose to do this. Nobody can do it for us. I can't say, hey buddy, you don't have your armor on. Let me put it on for you. I can't do that. We have to choose. We've got to make this choice. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says, and put on the new self that's created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, you've heard the phrase, dress for success. Well, I'm not talking about physical clothes here. I'm talking about dressing for spiritual success. And that's by putting on the armor of God. The Greek word here is endusathe, which means to clothe yourself in Him. Clothe yourself in Him. To abide in Him. Be in Him. Be in His presence. Be in His Word. Be in a right relationship with Him. Be in a mode of speaking to Him continuously. As Paul says, pray without ceasing. Clothe yourself in Him. Be drenched with God. It's just that picture of standing underneath a huge bucket of water and it's all poured out over the top of you. And it drenches you from top to bottom. That's being in His presence. It's being putting on. He repeats this twice in both verse 10 and verse 13. You know what? God really only needs to say something once, but when He repeats it, it's probably because He knows we didn't get it the first time. Right? We need to put on the armor of God. We need to do this. Now, we can't go home and say, well, that sounds like something I really need to do. Is that going to do anything? No. We've got to choose. We have to choose by an act of our will to make the choice and put on the armor of God. And not just the armor of God, the full armor of God. You know what? You could put on everything except for one piece, and you're still going to get hit. You know, what soldier's going to run out to battle without his helmet on? Without his sword in his hand? Without his breastplate on? You don't get out in the middle of the... Go, man, I forgot my sword. You're in trouble by then, right? So we've got to decide to put on the full armor. It's a complete protection. God's protection over us by His strength is complete. The Greek term is panoplion. It comes from panople, that which forms a protective covering. That's even a term that's used in entomology and insects. It's a protective covering. It's an impressive collection or array of God's protection on us. In other words, I'm going to put on everything He says for me to put on. Every single part of it. Because every single part of it's there for a reason. So when we get into the separate pieces of the armor of God, we need to know that this is not an option. I'll take this, but not that. But then how about two of those, and then I'll maybe come back for the other. No. This is His protection for us. His complete protection for us. He gives us everything we need to be successful in this spiritual battle. Let me ask you a question. Are you facing spiritual battles right now? Of course we are. Every single one of us. Every single day, the battle rages. Some days, it's a little easier than others. But the fact is, we've got to be prepared every day in this world that we live in to face the enemy that hates us, that's trying to take us down. We are only protected when we put on the full armor of God. So let's just stop there for a minute. Go back. I want to read up to this point. Finally, be strong in the Lord, in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can what? Take your stand against the devil's schemes. You see, we can't stand unless we're willing to put on the full armor. So the third imperative is to take a stand. Take your stand. The Greek term here is histemi. It means to put into place, to firmly stand, to resolve, to commit. In other words, you're saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to face whatever comes because I'm standing in His might and I'm covered with His armor. I'm going to put it on and I'm going to take my stand. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to put it off. I'm not going to go some other direction. I'm going to take a stand. And I'm going to stand firmly with resolve. I commit to do this. And again, this is an act of our will. Just as it's an act of our will to put on the armor of God, it's an act of our will to stand. We've got to choose to stand. It's far past the time that God's people should stand up against the schemes of the devil that continue to ravage this nation and this world. But it doesn't start in the White House. It starts in this house, the body of Christ. That's where it starts. Nothing's going to change unless we change. Nothing is going to make a difference in this world unless we make a difference. We all know this passage, and certainly it was meant directly for the children of Israel. But I have to believe this. And when God says these words, He doesn't change His mind later on just because we're in the United States, not in Israel. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. There is no doubt in my mind that if the people of God in this nation would do this as a corporate group of people, God would do what He says He'd do. I have no doubt about that. We've got to take our stand. We've got to take our stand against the atrocities that are going on around us, around the deceptions that are going on around us. You see, folks, it's not about blue states and red states. It's not about Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and AOC. It's about what the evil one wants in this place called the United States. And right now, he's doing a pretty good job of getting things done. And I think one of the reasons is because we're not standing. We're not standing because we've not put on the armor of God. And we haven't put on the armor of God because we don't really obviously trust it. And so we get into big debates and political battles and all these other things. It's not the person in the White House that really matters. It's the person that's in our house that matters. And what we're going to do with it. Take your stand, the scripture says, against the devil's schemes. The devil is scheming, by the way. His plan of attack is to see where we're not covered and attack there. The people that used to wear, the Roman soldiers that used to wear their shields and their helmets and all those kinds of things, they were pretty formidable when they would come against other people who didn't have all that. But the ones who didn't have all that started trying to find out where's their weak spot. And so they would plan a big attack from the front and all the Roman soldiers would line up together, but then they would send people in from the back with bows and arrows and all that. So they finally got to a point in the Roman army where they would gather together in a big place and put their shields all the way around them and over the top of them. So it didn't matter if people were raining down arrows from the tops of walls or whatever else, they were taken care of. They were protected and they could continue the battle. The devil's scheming. He's looking for any place that he can attack, and when he sees it, he's going to do it. We must be fully covered or we are vulnerable. We are not to go looking for a fight, but to withstand the attacks of the evil one. Folks, you don't have to go looking for the fight. You don't have to look very far or very hard because it's going to come. It's going to come. We've got to be ready. We've got to withstand the attacks of the evil one. We are to, the scripture says in James, we are to resist the devil. And when we do that, when we resist him by submitting ourselves to God, here's the picture. Paul says in Ephesians, James says it in James chapter 4, as we submit ourselves then to God, we can do what? Resist the devil. Not only can we resist him, he will what? He'll run away. He'll flee. He can't stand against the power of God. Can he stand against us? Yes. He can't stand against the power of God. I remember I had a friend in grade school. He was, well, he was kind of about as tall as he was wide. They used to call him Squatty Body. And he was always getting picked last on every team and all that kind of stuff. And people would make fun of him and didn't really take him seriously. And you know, it was pretty hurtful for him. But he had a dad who was a truck driver. His dad was about 6'8" and weighed about 320 pounds. And when his dad showed up, everything changed. They started treating the boy right, because they didn't want to face the wrath of the father. See the picture? We're nothing without him. But when the father shows up, things change. It's like going into a old house and flipping on the light and seeing all the cockroaches scurry away. We are to take our stand against the devil's schemes and resist him. And then we are to stand. Literally, it means to stand still. You see, it's not we who defeat the devil. Christ will do that. We just have to stand and watch. You remember when Gideon had his 300 faithful men, and the army was so vast that they were facing that they couldn't be numbered. And so he told them to do what? To get the jar, to get the torch inside the jar, to get their trumpets. They positioned himself in the middle of the night all the way around the valley where the army was. And when Gideon gave the sign, they broke their jars, they lifted their torches, and they played their trumpets. And the army in the valley thought they were surrounded, and they, of course, didn't have flashlights, and they just got up swinging. And the scripture says, by the time that the sun came up the next morning, there was not one left alive. And can you imagine how those 300 men felt when they saw that when the sun came up? What did they do to do that? Exactly what Paul's talking about. They were obedient, faithful. They took what they were supposed to take. They didn't try to run down and start swinging swords. They didn't try to prove 300 people could take out a million. They just did what they were supposed to do. And they were amazed at what they saw. That's exactly what will happen when we start living in His presence and taking a stand because of His power and His might. Stand still and see what the Lord will do. It's not we who will defeat the devil, Christ will. He has defeated death. He's defeated the grave. He will defeat Satan, especially at the Battle of Armageddon. And by the way, I've read the end of the book, and he's going to be cast. Satan's going to be cast into the pit of hell, and the door's going to be locked, and he will be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever in torment. We are to stand protected and see the victory of the Lord. Now look at what Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 14 says. As Pharaoh approached the Israelites, looked up, and there were the Egyptians coming, marching after them. They were terrified. They cried out to the Lord. They said, Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out of the desert to die? Doesn't that sound like people who aren't walking in the Lord? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. And Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need to only be still. Be still. See what God will do. We need to trust Him. We need to trust His Word. We need to be strong in the Lord and put on the armor that He's given us and take take our stand. Just be still and see what He will do. Let's pray. Lord, help us, because this is not natural for us. Our natural desire is to try to do everything we can do and somehow try to defeat the enemy, but that's not going to happen. Instead, You called us. You told us. You shared with us to put on the armor. To trust You, Your mighty power, and see what You will do. Lord, I pray that You'll help us do that. That You will encourage us to not depend upon ourselves, but to depend on You. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.